Maseches Chulin has been dedicated in honor of Leslie Westreich, Elazar Meir ben Harav Yehoshua, a great chavrusa and friend. The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yehoshua Grunwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Lakewood, New Jersey, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Chulin Daf Yud Dalid. Today's daf primarily discusses the halachos of muktzah. The Gemara and Yudalad Amad Aleph quote a Mishnah which is really from Masech de Shabbos, I believe. Titnan, we learned in Masech de Shabbos, it's quoted in another Masech de as well, like you see in Maseres HaShas. The Mishnah says, you're allowed to cut up these diluim, these cucumbers or type of vegetable in front of an animal. You're allowed to also chop up an animal, a dead animal, an animal that was alive at the beginning of Shabbos and died in the middle of Shabbos. You're allowed to chop it up to give it as food for dogs. And if Yehuda disagrees, the Tanakhim over here is Reb Shimon. And Reb Yehuda disagrees with Reb Shimon, and Reb Yehuda says that no, if the animal was alive at the beginning of Shabbos, then we cannot chop it up. You were not allowed to move or benefit from the dead carcass if the animal died on Shabbos. Why? Because it's not prepared. In essence, Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon are disagreeing regarding the concept of muktzah. Now, just to give a little of an introduction, there are numerous types of muktzah. For example, there's muktzah because kli shemalachto le'iser, something that's mainly used for iser, that you're not allowed to move it around unless you have terekufo yemekayma, you have a good purpose for it. Here we're talking about the muktzah of migudis katzoi, something that's muktzah because at the beginning of Shabbos, a person had das, they were makta their das, they had made up in their mind that they're not going to use this item, and as such, the item becomes muktzah, and it becomes prohibited to use that item the entire Shabbos. For those of you that have been following along the daf since Masechta Brachos, will remember that Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon disagree in the topic of muktzah many, many times. Reb Yehuda always being the machmir, and Reb Shimon always being the mekel. Mefarshim discuss at length if it's possible to say that all the cases where we find that Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon disagree, are they really one topic? Is it really one idea that they're arguing about? Or is it numerous different ideas that they argue about, and it just happens to be that Reb Shimon was always the mekel and Reb Yehuda was always the machmer? Be that as it may, definitely many times we find machaloikisim, disagreements between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon in the sugya of muktzah, in the topic of muktzah. And this is one of them. And for the most part, we paskin like Reb Shimon, especially for halachos of Shabbos. For Yom Tov, sometimes we're a little bit, according to some shittas, we're a little more machmir. With an exception, basically, of near a candle that was lit at the beginning of Shabbos, which is brought down at the end of this daf, going into tomorrow's daf. So let's reiterate. There's a machlokes, there's a sugya, there's a concept called migudis katzoi. Something that was mukta, something that a person had in mind, they're not going to use it during Shabbos. Then later, it became fit, or they changed their mind that they're going to use it on Shabbos. it remains muktzah because of migudis katzoy. That's the basic concept. And then, Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon disagree as to what extent I say that concept. And that's really what the machlokes Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon is right over here. About this animal that died. Animal that died on Shabbos. Do I say that it's migudis katzoy? Do I say since he wasn't going to use it at all, he had no purpose, no use at the beginning of Shabbos from the animal, so therefore the animal remains muktzah even now that it's dead and he has a purpose, even though now that it's dead and he's able to chop it up and use it as food for the dog, nevertheless, according to Reb Yehuda, it's muktzah, according to Reb Shimon, it's not. So what, and pertaining this machlokes, we pass him like Reb Shimon. We pass him like Reb Shimon that says we would be allowed to chop up the dead carcass and give it as food for the dog. In essence, it means that it's not muktzah. Once we could do that, we could really do anything that we could, any use we could really get out of it, we could do with this dead carcass. So there's a big machlokes we show him how to learn the opinion of Reb Shimon. According to the Rif and the Rambam, they say that as long as somebody did not push it away biyadayim, as long as he did not show with a physical action, or sometimes it's even not a physical action, but he sort of pushed it away, he sort of had an intention that was so strong that it was like actively disregarding its use for the entire Shabbos, only then will Reb Shimon agree that it would be muktzah of migudis katzoy. And therefore, according to them, over here, let's say this dead carcass, since the animal, even when it was alive, he never was dachye biyodayim, even though he had no intention of using the animal, but there was certainly no dachye biyodayim, he never actively pushed it away from having it, using it. And that's why, according to Reb Shimon, it's not muktzah. However, according to other Rishonim, Tosis right here, and Yudal and Amadalav, Divamasal Mechatchin, it's also Balamor and Aren, in Beyo, they say that Reb Shimon, even according to Reb Shimon, that is more meiko regarding muktzah of migudis katzoy, says that it will be muktzah of migudis katzoy even if he did not push it away biyodayim, even if he was not dachye biyodayim. Once we're able to say that he's not yoishev metzape, once we're able to say that he's not sitting there and waiting to benefit from it, it's already muktzah. It would already have on it the status of migudis katzoy, since it was muktzah, since it was designated for no use during the entire Shabbos. Even if during Shabbos he found a use, it would remain muktzah for the entire Shabbos. And as such, Tosfos explains the reason why this animal, this dead carcass, is not muktzah, according to Reb Shimon. The Chayra, let it be true that he never pushed it away with his hands, but in which way is he sitting there and waiting for the animal to benefit from it? So Tosfos explains that you have to say that for some reason he was Yoishev Metzape. He was sitting there and waiting for this animal to die, to be dead, and to be food for his dog. Tosfos says, the Lashon of Tosfos, Ubehemo nami ayri biyoshev umetape, shema yishchatena chire shayte vekotam, v'achirim ro'i maysam. He was waiting, he had some good reason to believe that chirish, a shayte, or a cotton, a minor, or a deaf person, or a shayte, would shech the animal with an older person with an adult supervision, which would make it be kosher to be eaten. He had some reason. He never gave up hope from being used, from using this animal, even though it's prohibited to shech the animal on Shabbos. But if it would be a case where he was where he was not sitting and waiting for the animal to be used on Shabbos, then even Reb Shimon would agree that the animal, the dead carcass, would be prohibited on Shabbos because of Mukta. That is the machloikis between the Rish Rambam against Tosfos right here in the Sugyo and the Baal HaMoed Ran in Beyo. And interestingly, it seems to be a stira in the Rosh, because the Rosh over here says that he goes like the opinion, seemingly like the opinion of the Rif and the Rambam. Over here, Mesach Techulin, the Rosh says if somebody shechts an animal for a sick person, so the sick person needed the meat, and we had a heter to shecht for him on Shabbos, so the question is, could healthy people eat from the rest of the animal? Because if it's muktzo, so it would be migudis katzoi. So the Rosh says, healthy people could eat from the meat, and it's not considered muktza for the healthy people, because there was never a dechia of the yadayim on the animal, even though he was not yoshev umetzapi, even though he had no reason to believe, he was not sitting there waiting to eat from the animal. Nevertheless, since there was no dechia of the yadayim on the animal, never pushed it away, so therefore, according to Reb Shimon, it wouldn't be muktza. This is what he says here in Masechta Chulin. However, in Masechta Shabbos, the Rosh says that if it's a healthy, live animal, and it died, it's aser. And the Goyin says, the reason is because he's not Yoshev Metzape. He had no reason to, he wasn't sitting there waiting for the animal to die. He didn't think the animal's gonna die. So it seems to be a stira in the Rosh if he paskins like Tosfos, or if he paskins like the Rif and the Rambam. So the Goyin asks this for a stira, the Vilna Goyin, the Chazon Ish says a teretz. The Chazon Ish is in Simim Mem Aleph, Sikot and Dalid. He gives a yishuv to the Kasha, Ayin Shom. Those who wish to do further research on this topic, they can look over there in the Chazon Ish. The remainder of this year, I would like to dedicate to focus on some practical cases of this concept of muktzah, this concept of muktzah of migudis katzoi. It is for this reason of this iser of migudis katzoi that if there's a stone on Shabbos, people know the stone is muktzah, a stone has no use. If you designate it before Shabbos, you made a use for the stone, you're going to use this stone from now on, it's going to be a door stopper, it will be a weight for your papers, whatever it may be, then it could become a keli. You can make it into a keli. You have to look in the Hilchas Muktzah, how much of a designation you have to do. Does it have to be a designation forever? Does it have to be a designation only for the Shabbos, verbally, with an action? Ayin Shom. But what about if somebody wants to go and designate in middle of Shabbos, he'll designate it with an action, with a verbally, with an action, forever. So because of this concept, he can't do that in middle of Shabbos. Since there's a migudis katzoi, since at the beginning of Shabbos, it was mukta, so therefore, in middle of Shabbos, he cannot go and make this be into a keli. Like we said before, even though Reb Shimon is makel, is lenient regarding a candle that burnt out on Shabbos, a candle that was lit at the beginning of Shabbos and then it burnt out, eventually the candle burnt out, that according to the opinion of Reb Shimon, one may move, in essence, leichter, that candle holder that had a candle lit there at the beginning of Shabbos, according to Reb Shimon, it's permitted to move it around. It's no longer muktzah once it burnt out. According to Reb Yehuda, it's prohibited. It's aser. So this, as we said before, this is also based on a concept of migudis katzoi, and this is an exception of where we pass like Reb Yehuda, and we are more machmir. Apparently, the Chazon Ish seems to say that if people are more, this is one case we feel a person designates, has more of a designation for the Isser, has designated it to, withholding himself from using it even more so than other things. And therefore, this is one example that we hold of Migdis Katzoy, not like Reb Shimon. And therefore, the candles that burn out are prohibited to be moved. And a similar case, a similar application, that's one very practical application. Similar case these people have, sometimes they, there are some poskim that apply this to a time clock that was keeping a lamp on. So, at the beginning of Shabbos, there was a lamp that was turned on and was set on a time clock that the timer eventually, after a certain amount of hours, turned the lamp off. And now, at the current time, the lamp is off. The lamp is off. Now the tripper is going to make it go back on in another few hours. Now we want to know, is this lamp mukta? Do I say, somebody wants to get a go ahead, and while the timer is turned to off, so in essence, this lamp is off anyways, I'll turn the switch off. I'll turn the switch of the lamp off so that when the tripper will come later in a 3 hours or 4 hours or whatever it may be to try to turn this lamp back on, it will remain off. So here he's not causing anything to happen. He's not causing that a lamp will turn on. Such a thing would have another issue. Grama, like causing a lamp to go on. But here he's just causing it to remain status quo. He's not causing a new thing to happen. He's just blocking that the lamp should not go on. So if the lamp is muktzah, then he can't touch the lamp, he can't move the lamp, and he can't move the tripper, the knob. He can't turn the lamp on. So since at the beginning of Shabbos, this knob and this lamp were muktzah, so therefore he can't turn and twist the switch of the lamp to turn it to off so that the tripper won't turn it on. Now, sometimes if it becomes a case of need, one can ask a Paisi, there could be ways how one can get around this with Tiltum and Atzad. But we're not getting into that in this year. A similar case would be if, let's say, somebody had a gas range on their stovetop that burnt out in the middle of Shabbos. Someone had their chalent set on a gas range on a low flame, and eventually somehow in the middle of Shabbos, someone walked by very fast and by mistake blew out the fire. And meanwhile, there's natural gas coming out of the stovetop, and he wants to just turn the switch for, say, for example, there is no pilot. There's no possibility that it will make any flame strike. It will not make this gas catch fire. And there's no electricity, no electricity running through this. There's no electric ignition. It's some very simple old stovetop. So the question is, they want to know, could they turn the knob off? And here again, the knob will be muktzah. Since at the beginning of Shabbos, the knob was something that would have made the flame bigger or smaller. And at that time, at the beginning of Shabbos, it was muktzah. Migdis Katzoy, since it was muktzah at the beginning of Shabbos, it's muktzah throughout the whole Shabbos. But here, one can easily understand that usually there's going to be a heter, there's a sakonis nefashis to have the gas running. And therefore, the many, many poskim would be makel to turn the gas range off. The best thing would be to use something else to do tiltum and atzad, use a spoon to turn it off with a tiltum and atzad. Now, fruits that came off of a tree. Let's say someone has an apple tree in their backyard and an apple falls off in the middle of Shabbos. So, there are two reasons why it's usur to eat those fruit that fell down on Shabbos. One reason is because of Gzeira. Chazal made Gzeira that you're not allowed to eat fruit that fell off of a tree on Shabbos. Gzeira that you might come to pull it off yourself. That's one iser. Another iser is migud is katzoy de bin hashmashos. This sugya that we're talking about right now, since it was mukta at the beginning of Shabbos, so therefore it's mukta throughout the whole Shabbos. Now here, Rishonim already tell us that it's mukta even according to Reb Shimon, and even according to the Rishonim that say that Reb Shimon will say that it's only mukta if it's dachye biyadayim, if he pushed it away, if there was sort of an active designation that he won't use it on Shabbos. Here, the fact that he didn't pick it before Shabbos, the Rishayim say, is an active designation, is an aktsinu, is a dechia biyadayim, is as if he pushed away the fruits from using them. So an interesting application of this is discussed, very interesting case discussed in Paiskim, is let's say somebody is in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot. And in Eretz Yisrael, B'nai Eretz Yisrael, those that live in Eretz Yisrael only keep, and planning on staying in Eretz Yisrael, they only keep one day Yom Tif. B'nai Chutz La'aretz, people that live in Chutz La'aretz, or some, even people that are there, but they plan on going back to Chutz La'aretz, depending on, person has to get a help sack, when they keep one day Yom Tif, when they keep 2 days Yom Tif. But, there are people of Bnei, generally speaking, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael are keeping 1 day Yom Tov, the Bnei Chutz La'aretz are keeping 2 days Yom Tov. And so what happens, it comes the second day Sukkot, you know, there's a nice minog of putting in brand new Arabis every single day of Yom Tov of Sukkot into one's luliv. So that means freshly picked Arabis. So it comes, let's say it comes the second day of Sukkot, so in Eretz Yisrael it's Chol HaMoed, and for the Bnei Chutz La'aretz it's Eretz Yisrael, it's Yom Tov. And somebody wants to know if a Ben Eretz Yisrael picked, cut, snipped off a Arava, can a Ben Chutz La'aretz use that Arava, or is it Muktzah for the Ben Chutz La'aretz? So numerous Paiskim, the Minchas Yitzchok says that these Aravas would be Muktzah for Bnei Chutz La'aretz. Unless it would be a Shas Adchak, and the reason being, because for the Ben Chutz La'aretz it would be, Mukta would be Mukta, and it would be Peyos HaNoishrin. It would be both of these Gzeiros that we talked about. However, there is a Mincha Shlemi, Reb Shlemi Zalman, Erbach held that such a case would be Mutter. Because he says like this, he says, if you want to deal with the Mukta problem, so we have it ready that a Ramban, which is brought down in the Sha'atzian, says that if, let's say, it's a fruit tree of a goy, and the goy had das to go pull off the fruit on Shabbos, then there wouldn't be a mukta issue. So that takes care of the mukta issue. And as far as the gzeiro that Chazal asked, you can't use fruit that fell down from a tree. So he says, we only find that if a goy pulls off fruit for himself, so then Chazal say, we find Shulchan Aruch tells us, the Chazal say that it's the same thing as if it fell off on its own, and that's included in the Gzeir that Chazal said, if we'll allow you to benefit from it, we're afraid you're going to pick it off yourself. But if a Yid picked it off the tree, and the Yid had a good reason, had a good hetter to pull it off the tree, and that Chazal never made an Isser. The whole Isser is that a person might come and do it be Isser. They hear that a Yid is allowed to do it beheter, for that Chazal never made a Issa. Okay. That's an interesting machloikis, of an application of the halacha of Miyudis Katzoy. I will end off with one more interesting application of Miyudis Katzoy, and that is, the Chazanish says that if somebody had a can of tuna fish, and according to his opinion, it's an Isra Torah. You're not allowed to open up this can of sardines or can of tuna fish. And if somebody did open it up, says the Chazon Ish, it's Muktza. Since you were not allowed to open it up at the beginning of Shabbos, so you actively designated that this should not be eaten on Shabbos. The contents of the can will not be eaten on Shabbos. And therefore, the contents are also to be eaten on Shabbos. Now, if somebody is Mekel, other opinions are more makel on opening cans. Everyone, This is not the topic of today's discussion. Seek your own halacha guidance when are cans and bottles and jars and all these things permitted to be opened on Shabbos and not beyond the scope of today's shiur. The point is, this shiur, just to say that if there is no passable way, the Chazon Ish said, if there is no passable way to open up that container, then even if it did get opened, the contents would be migu diskatzoi muktza because of this reason of migu diskatzoi. Usually, let's say bottle caps of soda, and a lot of them bottle caps of milk containers, usually there is a heter way how to open up the bottle. And therefore, even if it did get opened a way that the user himself would not be able to open it, they could use the contents, being that they could have anyways benefited. They could have anyways used the contents, and therefore they were never makted item from the contents, although they wouldn't have opened it up in that fashion. So this would be as far as the problem of mukta is concerned. As far as migu diskatzoi is concerned, they would not have this issue in most cases. Even in the case of cans, the Sefer Orach HaShabbos asks, he doesn't understand why the Chazon Ish held that the contents would be osur, because even according to the Chazon Ish, there would be a very, maybe shver, maybe a difficult way how to open it up, but there would be some way of just chopping the whole can open without opening it up in the normal fashion, even though it's very far-fetched for somebody to do that, but l'chayr, it is an etzah, so therefore why did the Chazon Ish hold that the contents are muktzah? But be that as it may, the Chazon Ish said the contents are muktzah, but as we said, usually, in practical purposes, this would not make the contents of the can, of the most bottles even if you're machmir not to open them, usually there is a way to get the contents out, and therefore, even if someone opened it up the way you wouldn't do it, the contents are not mukta.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.